Anything the three of you want to throw out to conclude here? Any other? I have one more question I'm going to ask, but anything else burning?
I have a question about cost, Craig, and that's in the panel. John, you're a little different healthcare system than us, but I'd like your perspective too. Do you think that cost comes into play or should come into play in making treatment decisions for patients? You know, the perspective I have is that, you know, our healthcare system, you know, for cancer patients, for most people, but not all, but for most people, when they get infused drugs in our practice, most of the cost is covered by the payer. They get oral drugs, it's more problematic, but we usually are able to get foundations to cover their costs. But I hear more and more about, you know, the term financial toxicity and the cost of treatment, and I just wondering if that does play a part in treatment decisions using brentuximab as an example or others.
John, any thoughts about that?
So should it? Actually, it was a big, the cost was a big deal for me in Echelon 1. I was hoping, praying, that there was going to be a 10% improvement in two-year progression-free survival in the BV arm. I really suspected it based upon the phase 2 data, which was at 95%. Now, granted, it was a small data set, like 50 or 60 patients, but it looked like this was going to be the greatest thing ever. And then when we got the results back and we see a 5.5% difference, and we know that BV-AVD is, you know, an extra $250,000 or $200,000, what is the right number? Are you willing to spend that on every single Hodgkin lymphoma patient? And I've been toying about this quite extensively, but after hearing the growth factor data, I really believe the growth factor story with BV-AVD. I really do believe it's 10% better. It's just that without growth factors and delays in therapy, there was a problem with the delivery of this program. And I think that we will see. It is a better program if you give it right. So I think 10% better in two-year progression-free survival, I think it's tough not to give the treatment. I really do. 5% to every patient. I'm talking about to every patient with advanced stage Hodgkin lymphoma.
See, but you know, in adjuvant therapy, solid tumors, we never really talk about absolute. We always talk about relative, and then you apply it to risk. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're calling it, you're talking about 5 or 10%. But on the other hand, if you know you're starting out with a patient at lower risk, or if you know you're starting out with a patient who's at 25, 30% risk, that absolute number is going to be different.
It's because the patients are salvageable. That's the issue. You know, metastatic solid tumor is not
salvageable. I'm just saying the numbers that you give to a patient.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. You know, I think that this is, you know, it's Hodgkin lymphoma. It's like testicular cancer in men. You have to be very, very conservative of what you do to folks. You ask every lymphoma doc, I'll ask John, we are all, I think we were shocked that there was a 5% difference. Because how often does a phase 3 study not complement a phase 2 study? Done by excellent investigators. Usually they go hand in hand. And this is, it's 10% different compared to the phase 2 data. It's not like 1 or 2% difference, it's 10% different. People are very surprised about the results, extremely, which is why there's so much davening going on about this. We're having this conference today because we did not expect such a small patient number differential. Like when you said, you were happy that there's 13 patients different. I'm not happy about a 13 patient different. I wanted it to be 100 patients.
That's because he treats breast cancer.
Right. Yeah. I understand where you guys are coming
from. It really is a culture.
I get it.
It's a culture, and it's evolved over 20 years.
Yeah, this is how we learn from these meetings because I don't have the same mindset. I don't know how you guys do it, taking care of all these different types of cancer. But, you know, I learn about this stuff, and I can see where you're coming from, that this is, to you, it's very, very meaningful result. And, you know, it's what I take home from these meetings. I learn a tremendous amount coming to hear other folks' point of view.
And I'll tell you, and you can reflect on that because you've heard that discussion, that the breast cancer investigators were the same exact thing, profoundly disappointed that pertuzumab didn't have a greater effect, but still it was a 20% relative risk reduction. So even though kind of people are grumpy, et cetera, when you really say to them, are you not going to tell a patient about this as an option? When, I mean, you're not talking about life-threatening toxicities here and really with BV-AVD. So it's just, this has been going on forever in breast cancer and oncology, but you don't hear that much about it in hematologic oncology.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two things, one is individual. The patients come in, most are sophisticated and have seen the data, you know, and they may say, this is what we want. I don't want to go through transplant. I would rather be cured. But the other thing is globally, and you know, looking at survivor rates in our country, in the United States, compared to other countries, especially Europe, I mean, our survivor rates are better from cancer. And I think part of that has to do with having the access to these new drugs quickly and getting that treatment. And maybe that's a small difference, but it adds up to better survivor rates overall. And I realize that the system's not perfect and there's flaws with it, but I feel like there's a lot of discussion at national meetings now about cost, and that means we're less likely to use these newer drugs, which means we're less likely to have another advance in 10 years as well.
Not in our diseases. Our diseases, we do the same as the Europeans and the Australians, the South Africans. In solid tumor, there's a huge disparity in our results compared to non-US because we have a gazillion drugs that are available. But in lymphoma, you know, we haven't reaped the benefits necessarily of our solid tumor colleagues with all these drugs.